Hi everyone, welcome back to the TEFL Training Institute podcast. I'm Ross Thorburn, and this week my guest is Marek Kiczkowiak. Marek is founder of TEFL Equity Advocates and TEFL Equity Academy. He's a materials writer at the moment in Belgium. And in this episode, I asked Marek about putting English language courses online. For obvious reasons, recently a lot of people are having to create online language courses for the first time. Marek's got experience of doing this, both as a materials designer and also as a teacher trainer. So in this episode, you'll hear Marek talking about some of the challenges of putting courses online, the different platforms to use, and of course, very, very importantly, how to get students to actually take your courses. Enjoy the episode. Hi, Marek. So we're obviously talking about this because of COVID-19. So before we go on, how has the pandemic changed where you're teaching?
Yeah, so I think the classes shut down late March, early April. I don't know if they're going to resume from the new academic year. I doubt it. I think maybe some classes will, like the absolute essential ones, like, I don't know, work in a laboratory that you can't do online, this might resume. But I think a lot of it will be done online still. And then, I mean, I haven't been teaching. I've been just developing academic writing courses on academicenglishnow.com. And the reason I set them up was for 3 years here, I was teaching academic writing, basically, to university students in Belgium. And you know, when I started my new job in Brussels, I wasn't teaching anymore. I was developing materials. But I've been thinking at the back of my mind that I could do all of what I was doing in the classroom with students. I could just offer that online. And then I'm not limited. I can be anywhere in the world and deliver the same quality program. And then when the lockdown happened, I was like, that's it. If I don't do it now, then I've missed the boat.
So the online courses that we're talking about today, Marek, can you tell us about them? I mean, I feel that online learning covers so much. You could have synchronous online classes in real time with groups of students all, you know, in a virtual classroom. Or you can have asynchronous, where people interact with each other, but maybe they're in different time zones and they comment in a forum throughout the day. Or you can even have completely self-access courses where learners are working their way through things at their own pace and they don't really interact with each other very much. So tell us about the courses that you've created and why did you design them that way?
Most of it is completely asynchronous. And there are two reasons for that. The first reason is that at the moment I have most of my students are PhD students in Bolivia. So the time difference is big. Therefore, finding a suitable time for a live class, even now when these 15 students come from exactly the same university, proved completely impossible. Also because people can work through it at their own pace. They can jump through the different lectures and focus first on the ones that they feel are the most important to them. Because I might start at a certain point and I, as a teacher, feel that this is the best point to start with. But maybe for other students, they have a different problem they want to tackle first. So these were some of the reasons kind of why it's better for students, but also for you as an online teacher. It's also much better because I don't have to constantly give the same material online. Time is money as a freelancer. So that's why, you know, in the online courses that I offer, the basic package just includes the online work. And there is no input from me apart from answering students' comments. There is a forum and they can ask each other questions and I come in and answer their questions. The second kind of higher tier that you can add is feedback on assignments. So if you pay more money, you can do the assignments that are on the course and then I'll check them and give you personalized feedback on them. I'm now including my time, so that's got to be more expensive. And then even above that, we've got group live sessions, right? Where we meet live and discuss any problems students have. They can send in the questions before, you know, and we have a live session. And then even higher than that has to be a one-on-one class. And, you know, it doesn't cost 20 euros. It doesn't cost 50 euros. It costs much more than that. And, you know, ultimately there'll be few people who will buy it, but that's good because, you know, you want to limit yourself to people who actually really, really want to work with you. A lot of people might not need that. They will just need the online course.
You mentioned lectures there. So in my experience, online courses tend to involve a lot of reading. And they also sometimes have quite a high dropout rate. I think it's quite difficult sometimes to stay motivated for a long period of time when studying at a distance. So what input do you use on your courses, and how do you make sure that those courses manage to stay interesting?
So I guess I refer to them as lectures because my market is in universities. Otherwise, I'd probably refer to them as lessons or maybe videos or whatever you want to call them. But you definitely can't have lessons, lectures, or videos that are much longer than 5 minutes. Because people's attention span nowadays, you know, we can hardly even finish a 5 minute video on Facebook. And maybe if it's educational and we paid for it, we'll give it more effort. And I really like to think of them as little how-to steps. So to give you an example, one module is how to write an introduction. And then within that bigger task, you have a smaller task, which will be how to identify the research gap. And this smaller task will consist of even smaller tasks, and those smallest tasks are individual lectures. So you might have four how-to lectures in how to identify a research gap. And each of them, you know, takes about 5 minutes, each video, and then there is a task below it. A task could be for students to write something. Sometimes it could be as simple as writing one sentence. Sometimes it will be, you know, a longer 100, 200 word assignment. It could also be a quiz. And sometimes, for example, because things vary from discipline to discipline in academic writing, I often like to give students a task to now go off and read an academic paper from their discipline and then tell me whether what I said applies to their discipline. For example, some disciplines like to have introduction and literature review together as one section, others will separate it. I tell them that in the lecture about organizing this, but now they need to read the text and comment and let us know how it's organized in their field.
I wish I'd known about your academic writing course before I started my my MA dissertation.
You can still take it, Ross, if you want to.
Yeah, sadly, it's too late now. So for these courses, you need to put them online on a platform. Can you tell us about how you made that decision, which platform to use?
That's a very, very good question, because I think there's one thing, obviously, it's got to be pedagogically sound, right? So there's lots of different platforms, and it really depends what you want to do and what you want to have. To give you one example, my initial TEFL Equity Academy courses were on a platform called Teachable. Teachable is free to access at the beginning with some limitations, and then it has certain plans. The advantage of platforms like Teachable or Kajabi, for example, that's another one, K-A-J-A-B-I, Kajabi, is that they are all in platforms. So they give you free video hosting. I mean, free as long as you pay the platform, right? But it's video hosting. It's a payment gateway. It's the websites are pre-designed for you, basically. Kajabi has email funnels. So when somebody buys your product, they get a sequence of emails. Kajabi has webinars, for example, built in. So it's kind of an all-in solution. It's a good solution if you don't have time and you don't feel very techy and you just want something quick. However, if you want to put in a little bit of effort, and it's not that difficult because I was able to do it, right? And I have zero website building skills, literally zero. I just watched YouTube tutorials and did it, is to host it on WordPress. That gives you incredible flexibility because obviously Teachable has its website layout and you can't really change it that much. You cannot make it look as you want it to look. To really access all the features you want to have, you'd be looking at $100 a month with Teachable and $150 with Kajabi. So this is only for people who are, you know, who have high volumes of sales. You might not have that, right? So I personally now, all my courses are on WordPress, and I don't personally think it's too difficult to set up. Just to break down the numbers, instead of paying $100 a month, you're probably looking at maybe $30 a month or less. It's just that you need different pieces, right? So you need your WordPress hosting, you need video hosting, and then you need your online course plugin like LearnDash or something like this.
So let's talk about finding students. How do you go about marketing your courses and making sure that students actually want to buy them?
Sure, yeah. Never create an online course just because you think it's a good idea. And don't create a whole course before getting the proof of concept and trying to see if it actually sells. You'll spend months creating this amazing online course that nobody wants to buy. But the simplest idea is the sales funnel, right? You start with something free that's downloadable to people, give you their email address. But it always has to be something valuable for your audience. So maybe even before that, you need to really define who your audience is. Right? I help university students and researchers write better academic papers and thesis. I'm not interested in people want to learn business English. Right? And when people download it, they need to give you their email address to be able to download it. And then usually there is a very cheap offer of something. Right? This could be a 60-minute training session on something. This could be a mini course. 100 people opt in to download something. Maybe 10% of them, if you've got a very, very good funnel, 10% of them will decide to get the opt-in offer, right? So you already have some initial clients. And then a smaller percentage of those might get the upsell as well. So once people opt in and buy something from you, you can offer them a higher package or another product. Think about it as building a relationship with someone. First, they get to know you. Then maybe they read a blog post that you've written and they kind of think, wow, that was really, really helpful. And then they see this PDF guide that further helps them. And they're like, oh, I might download that. And then once they really like you and feel that you're knowledgeable, they will buy something from you. Never offer a course to people that don't know you, you know, like you don't go to a Facebook group or something and then post, hey, I've got this amazing course. Do you want to buy it? You know, it's not appropriate. People need to get to know you. And in marketing, it's kind of the same.
So really, it sounds there that a lot of this is about making sure that your potential customers, potential students, trust you before you try and sell them something.
Yeah, I think so. I think you need to establish trust and also show people that you genuinely want to help them. Because if you start with the idea that I'm in this to make money, then people will easily see that. And the reason why you're offering certain products is because you can't just help people for free. You can do that in a blog post, but in a very limited way, right? It probably means you need to know your target audience pretty well. That's why I started with the academic writing courses, because that's something I've been doing for a long time now. And I feel I really know what problems my target audience is suffering from, what questions students have asked me over the last 10 years.
So obviously the sales funnel though is after people get to your website, but another really important part of this is just getting people onto your website in the first place. So tell us about that, Marek. How do you just attract people to come onto your website?
Absolutely. Yeah. So two ways of getting to your target audience. You can buy your way in, which is through Facebook ads. And this has got the advantage that if you run them correctly and if you've got this funnel that I described to you, you can basically break even. You're not really spending any money because for every $100 that you put in, people buy $100 of your courses. And much quicker, you're building an audience. But the second way is not buying it in, but kind of through posting content. Doing content marketing that's valuable to my audience and that Google is going to start ranking highly on their search pages, right? And this is really, really important because if Facebook changes their advertising policies, your whole business could go bankrupt if you just rely on Facebook ads. Another really important way is to do what we're doing here, for example, is to do collaborations where you, for example, do a podcast or you do a video or a blog post for somebody else who already has your target audience or has people who are very similar to your target audience because both of us reach more people. But also, if other websites add hyperlinks to your website, that increases your ranking in SEO, right? So if you do collaborations like this, you add a hyperlink to my website, I add one to yours, and you know, and hopefully we're going higher in the search rankings as well.
So one more time, everyone, that was Marek Kiczkowiak. For more from Marek, please check out his website, www.tefl-equity-advocates.com. You can also find the TEFL Equity Academy on there with some of the online courses that Marek has created before for teachers. If you enjoyed this podcast, please visit our website, www.tefltraininginstitute.com for more. And if you really enjoyed it, please give us a good rating on iTunes or wherever you listen. We'll see you again next time. Goodbye.